We are back in the Holy Torah. Torah 101 Daily. Today we finish the portion of Shelach, the Parasha, moving through the book of Bamidbar, Numbers. Chapter 15, verse 27. If an individual sins by mistake, he is to offer a female goat in its first year as a sin offering. Remember yesterday, if the congregation or the community sinned inadvertently, and it was believed to be a reference to idolatry caused by one of the Kohanim, one of the priests, leading the people in an idolatrous direction, maybe inadvertently. Now we see that there are provisions for those who have sinned by accident. The Kohen will make atonement before Adonai for the person who makes a mistake by sinning inadvertently. He will make atonement for him, and he will be forgiven, no matter whether he is a citizen of Israel or a foreigner living with them. You are to have one law for whoever it is that does something wrong by mistake. But, verse 30, an individual who does something wrong intentionally, whether a citizen or a foreigner, is blaspheming Adonai, meaning speaking against Adonai, by a person's actions, not necessarily words, but by a person's actions, one can speak against. Remember, your actions are always louder than your words. Person's actions are what blaspheme Adonai to a greater degree. That person will be cut off from his people. Remember, this is before the age of grace that we speak of, under the new covenant, where our sins have been paid for once and for all, the book of Hebrews says, that our sins have been remitted. The remission of our sin means the total removal of our guilt. But here at the point of inception, when God is training his people in the wilderness, intentional sin is something that is to be dealt with. The willful disobedience of a man or a woman against Adonai, that person would be cut off from his people. Verse 31, because he has had contempt for the word of Adonai and has disobeyed his command, that person will be cut off completely. His offense will remain with him. Intentional sin had specific requirements for punishment. We know about intentional adultery required the death penalty, murder being intentional required the death penalty, the cursing of one's parents required the death penalty. Verse 32, while the people of Israel were in the desert, they found a man gathering wood on Shabbat, the Sabbath. The ancient rabbis taught that Up to this point, they had only kept one Shabbat. Yet on this second one, this man came and desecrated it. So they were still new to the laws of Shabbat. And once again, God is instilling in his people the importance of following his mitzvot, his commandments. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moshe, Aaron, and the whole congregation. Also, the ancient rabbis taught that because of the double use of the word found or find, meant that they had originally warned him, but he did not stop gathering wood, even after they found him and warned him. That's from an ancient midrash. They kept him in custody, verse 34, because it had not yet been decided what to do to him. Then Adonai said to Moshe, "This man must be put to death. The entire community is to stone him to death outside the camp." So the whole community brought him outside the camp and threw stones at him until he died, as Adonai had ordered Moshe. We see the seriousness of the Shabbat. Again, part of the training of his children. God was bringing his children into line, into harmony with his rhythm, the rhythm of the week. And I must point out that, again, Shabbat is for our benefit. Why the strong punishment for violating Shabbat? It's for our benefit. Shabbat is. Remember what Yeshua spoke when he said, "Shabbat is for man, not man for Shabbat." It was given to us for our benefit. Therefore, God places a high importance and priority on our keeping that day separate, keeping it holy, a day of rest. Adonai said to Moshe, verse 37, "Speak to the people of Israel, instructing them to make through all their generations tzitziot, fringes, on the corners of their garments, and to put with the tzitzit on each corner a blue thread." Blue here is techelet. It's a blue turquoise color, a dye that was highly prized by ancient Mediterranean civilizations. According to the Talmud, the dye of techelet was produced from a marine creature known as the chilazon. According to the Sofeta, the chilazon is the exclusive source of the dye. So to this day, that highly prized dye is very rare, but yet is being cultivated in Israel and is used in the dyeing of the fringe on each corner of the tzitzit. Yeshua himself, of course, wore tzitzit. When the woman with the issue of blood came, she grabbed him by his tzitzit. The English says the hem of his garment. It was his fringe that she grabbed him by and received healing by placing her faith in him. Verse 39, "It is to be a tzitzit for you to look at and thereby remember all of Adonai's mitzvot, His commandments, and obey them. This is the purpose of the French, to remember and obey, so that you won't go around wherever your own heart and eyes lead you to prostitute yourselves. The ancient Midrash taught that the heart and eyes are the spies for the body. They are its agents for sinning. The eye sees, the heart covets, and the body commits the transgression. So the fringe were there to be a reminder for the eye. It will help you remember, verse 40, and obey all my mitzvot and be holy for your God. Separated. The garment itself separates a man, makes him unique and different, the man who wears tzitzit. I am Adonai your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt in order to be your God. I am Adonai your God. This is Torah 101, every day.